just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. Here we are again. This is Mrs. Waite. Do you know when a child is born into the world, the parents should, one, regard the child as having entered upon an immortal existence? Two, heartily dedicate him to God as Hannah did Samuel? Three, pray for him and teach him to pray? 4, store in his mind the truth of God's Word. 5, set him a Christian example. 6, train him to habits of obedience, order, generosity, industry, and economy. 7, check the first budding of evil and cherish the first indication of right feelings. And 8, rest not until his heart is given to Christ. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll use this program. You know how much we want to do it. You know how much we want to talk about children accepting Christ as their Savior. And perhaps there's a child listening today or a mother today who needs to lead her child to the Lord Jesus as Savior. We pray that this will be the day of salvation for that child. Well, girls, we have a guest today. I love it when we have guests. It makes such an interesting program. We have Pamela Bennett. She's one of my friends, and she's married to a missionary, and she's a missionary in Australia. Is it for 30 years, Pam?
Yes, it is.
Good. Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And let's see. Tell us a little bit where you have your missionary work.
Okay. We were in Sydney for several years, and then we moved to a country town called Dubbo. Like dub is in tub. Some people in America call it Dubbo. Dub is in two, but it's not. It's dub is in tub. And it's a little over, between 400 and 500 kilometers east of Sydney. It's a little country town. The first actual, the last city, I should say, before the outback starts.
Okay, what's the outback exactly?
Well, the outback is basically a barren land where very few people live, where the Aboriginals actually used to, you know, live and hunt and so forth.
Do you have kangaroos?
Oh, yes, we have kangaroos.
Do they run around all over like our rabbits and squirrels?
Well, I have seen a kangaroo two different times since I've been in Dubbo, hopping down the main street or one of the main streets of Dubbo, but most of the time they're not there. Usually if there's a drought, they seem to be able to get closer to town. But I do have them in our back paddock.
Huh. What's a paddock?
Oh, a paddock is like... a big yard, you know, a yard land.
Uh-huh. Because around here it's called paddock where horses are.
Yeah, it would be a similar thing, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, I wanted you to give us how you got saved. I thought it was very interesting how the Lord saved you as a... How old?
I was 12 years old at the time I got saved.
Well, just give us your testimony.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'd have to start out when I was about 4. It was about that age when I remember thinking there was a God. I didn't know anything about him. I had heard him a few word at times in cuss words, but other than that, I didn't really know much about him. But I do remember a specific time when I desired to know him, and I went outside and I looked up in the sky, and I knew there was a God. I just didn't know him. And then another time that, I know that God was working with me. I was in second grade, I believe it was, and we had a little chapel not far from where we lived, and they had a kind of like a holiday Bible club. And I don't really remember much about what I was taught. I do remember the song, How Great Thou Art.
Hmm.
But nobody explained to me who Thou was.
Uh-huh.
And I think probably there was one other time that was impressed on my heart. My parents went to square dances.
Mm-hmm.
And they had friends who went to square dances as well. And they went to a Lutheran church. And they went every Sunday. And they had mentioned that they took a liking to me because I had to go to a square dance once because I was very, very ill. In fact, I had an appendicitis attack, and my parents in no way were going to miss the square dance, so they made me go with them.
During this
square dance, and I remember laying in a chair. Well, anyway, these people got to know me, and so they decided that Mom was to bring me back sometime, and then I would spend the Saturday night with them and then go to church on Sunday. And I was just enamored with that thought, and I did go to church with them. I remember the room I slept in and everything, and I was so excited to go to church. But I have to.
Wait a minute, you stayed overnight with
them? I stayed overnight.
You never went to the hospital?
I think I had already by then I'd had my appendix out.
Okay.
This was at a different time.
Okay.
And that's when my parents took me back so that I could spend the night with these people. And they took me to church, and I don't know why. It could have been me, but I don't remember hearing anything. And so
sometimes churches don't say too much.
They may not have said anything, or maybe got to deal with me. Anyway, it wasn't until I was 12 years old and my aunt had an infant son die, and my aunt nor my mother went to church, and so they took the Ottumwa Courier and started going through the church section and calling pastors in order to take the funeral. And they couldn't get anybody, but James Kirkland had received their call, and he told me later he doesn't know why he did it, because he had no intentions of taking the funeral, but he took my aunt's phone number, and God impressed on his heart to take the funeral. And so he canceled his appointment and rang my aunt back and said, "I'll take it if you don't have anybody else." And so he took the funeral, and basically he gave a salvation message, gave an invitation if somebody wanted to be saved. And I raised my hand, and he talked to me, and I accepted Christ as my Savior at that time.
And you were 12, you said?
I was 12, yes.
Isn't that interesting? And so you accepted the Lord right there at the funeral service?
That's correct.
So then your relatives had to wait for you, or did you talk to the pastor?
I don't really remember much about it. I do remember that we went out to the graveside. So he did talk to me there, but basically I accepted Christ before he even talked to me. I accepted Christ when he gave that offer of what Christ did on the cross, and as he was explaining that. And I think, if I remember right, at that time he said, "Anybody that wants to accept Christ as their Savior, raise their hand." And I know at that time I accepted Christ as my Savior. It wasn't after he talked to me. It was, I had already accepted Christ. But then I do remember him talking a little bit to me, because I think he got my address.
So you realized you were a sinner?
I did. I realized I was a sinner.
Uh-huh. That's
and I wasn't a horrible sinner, I guess. I just knew that I was a sinner because I was born a sinner.
Right, and you comprehended that. That's very interesting. Some older people can't recognize the fact they're sinners.
I can only say that God must have been dealing with me, because I don't know why I comprehended it.
That's good. Well, 12 years old, and before, children can understand. Mm-hmm. So, tell me more.
Well, okay, I got saved. I know I got saved. Then it was very interesting, because I'm not for sure when this took place. I remember receiving a letter from the pastor, but lo and behold, there was a family, Wendell Elaine Wilcox, who lived 3 miles from where we lived. And
you lived on a farm?
I lived out in the country. It was a property,
in
not
Iowa,
a farm.
Iowa.
In Iowa. Yep, out near Bloomfield, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And so he set it up that they would pick me up for church. And it wasn't on their way to church. They had to go backwards to get me. And the first Sunday, I don't know why, but I heard this man talking to my parents, and I was still in bed. Maybe that's why now I don't sleep in. And Mom came in and said, "Well, you can't go to church because he's already here." And I don't know why I didn't get up. I don't know to this day. Anyway, I jumped up, got myself ready, and doesn't take much in those days. And came out, and he waited patiently for me. And they had to wait for me patiently a lot. Anyway, so I went to church for the very first time.
Oh, and that was a Baptist
church?
Well,
not the first time, but yes, it was a Bible Baptist church in Ottumwa, Iowa.
First time since you
received
Christ?
First time since I'd received Christ. The only other time was that Lutheran church that I went to.
So your family was not a church-going family at all?
Definitely not.
No. So you went to church, and then what?
Well, Wendell Elaine were very, very faithful in picking me up, and my dad smoked at the time, and now that I look back, I know that I smelled like a cigarette as I got in their car, And because I remember later talking to them about that. But anyway, she immediately enrolled me in a Bible memory, kind of like a, it wasn't really a contest, just Bible memory.
Uh-huh.
And it was a little red book, I remember that. And then I would memorize verses. And the first verses I memorized was John 1, 1 through, I think, 5 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then later it was John 3, 16. And so I started memorizing the Bible. And then later they, I had been saved a little while, and they started talking to me about baptism. I was a little confused. I was young. I had no Bible knowledge other than that.
And you didn't know what in the world baptism was, probably.
No, actually, I didn't.
Uh-huh.
And but they talked to me, explained it to me. They were very good and patient with me.
Well, what does baptism mean?
Baptism means it means nothing except that I am following Christ. I'm going to be one of his followers.
Death and burial.
Death, burial, and resurrection.
Uh-huh.
And I associated myself with Christ's death, burial,
yes.
and resurrection.
Yes, that's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. So you maybe were you 13 yet?
I think I must have been close to 13 if I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I think I had been going almost a year.
Uh-huh. That's good. Do you have anything else to say on that?
Well, there was a lot of turmoil in my life not too terribly long after that. I probably don't have time to go into that, but I'm not for sure what the problem was, but my mom then began to have a dislike for these people that took me to church because she began to think that they were the reason that I became religious, as she called it. And then she began to resent the fact that the minister that did the funeral service for my cousin, she then began to kind of blame him. If I only hadn't have had him, you wouldn't become so religious. She did not like my religiosity.
Uh-huh.
Not realizing that it wasn't religion, but it was Christ.
Right, right. Did she ever accept the fact that you were a Christian and hear you're a missionary and everything?
Actually, not. I got away from the Lord for about a year because I fought with her so much about this very thing. But once I got married and once she accepted my husband, which it took her a while, she began to adore him. And then
he is a nice man.
I think because he stood up to her. She'd never had a man stand up to her before. He was very gentle with her, but he stood up to her. And I think she respected that. And from then on, I had very little trouble with my mother. She did often say, well, can't you do the same thing in America that you do in Australia? And I said, yes, I can, but not with God's blessing.
Right.
And she didn't understand that, but I have to accept that she didn't understand that.
Right. I'm thrilled that you accepted Christ as a 12-year-old girl. I'm reading how Jesus loved the children in Mark 10. And they brought young children to him, and he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@biblefortoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.